Ding dong! Today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com.
And if you love what you hear in and you're a fan of Las Culturistas, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a glowing review.
Yes, God.
Dive in.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, Aiko, ande, Giacomo Fino, anane, Giacomo Finane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And Bowen, I don't think I've ever dinged my dong quite so hard.
And I haven't donged my fucking ding quite so hard either, Matt.
Has it been a long time since you donged your ding?
It's been a while. I'm on the subreddit of people who don't dong their ding. Have you heard about this? The people who don't, the nofap. It's like people who like live by this lifestyle trend of not masturbating. And it kind of makes them feel more virile, obviously, but also like more like emotionally like in
tune. I get
that.
You know, they tell you not to jack off before you have to do something high stakes.
Who's they?
Well, you know, the public.
The public.
Today I dinged my dong, not to this week's episode of Handmaid's Tale, but last week's episode of Handmaid's Tale.
Was there?
Because I love that Max Minghella.
Oh.
The guy that plays Nick above the driver above the garage.
And the guy who played a fucking Indian dude in The Social Network. He was supposed to play an Indian dude.
Are you really going to ruin this with me with your social
and
politics?
They put brown makeup on him. Yes, that Max Minghella. Okay, continue.
Wow, that's crazy.
Guys, okay, this is...
I blame Aaron Sorkin for that.
Of course. It's not no shade
and
on
Max.
And most
things.
I have yet to see A Handmaid's Tale, because 2 years ago I started reading the book and it terrified me.
It's very scary and mostly not a fap-worthy show. But I couldn't deny my body.
You couldn't deny your body. You guys, this is our first episode since our backlog of LA episodes. That was so fun. We loved all of our guests for that.
Loved Los Angeles. Surprised myself with how much we loved it.
Sure. You know what? This was the trip where I was like, I can move here.
I could do it. No stranger to LA.
Who?
Our guest.
Honey.
Because he's been there.
Let's talk.
That's what we call a segue, you motherfucking bitch.
Okay, let's go through the credits, Matt.
Okay, well, the credits include he is on the UCB Herald team, Ice Cold Bev, which I think wins the award for best name.
Absolutely. And he also directs Characters Welcome at UCB.
Yes, at UCB East.
Amazing. Just, you know, the house character, you know, team.
Yeah, relatively new team. I just joined it. I'm very excited about
it. Taps for Matt.
Third Monday of every month at UCB East at 9 p.m.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Also, he's a writer on this last season of the wonderful show Throwing Shade.
Yes, God.
Based on the podcast.
Another
podcast
queer
sisters.
Podcast sisters.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
And you saw him fucking slay in School of Rock the Musical.
Yes.
Guys, please welcome
Michael Hartney.
Yeah. Ooh, that was a lovely listing of credits. I loved it.
It's like a bubble bath.
It's a bubble bath.
We set the temperature just right for our guests.
It was really nice. I feel very exfoliated.
Yes.
And welcome.
And accomplished.
Welcome. Now come in. Come into this little bathtub.
Let's all get in. Oh. Well, you have done a fuck ton of shit.
Yeah.
Of different shit, too.
It's a fun way to stay on my toes, right?
Yeah.
Stay on your toes.
I mean, talk about like being in the writer's room and also like, I bet you're the only writer like in that room who's like gotten even close to Broadway. Like actually performing on a Broadway stage in a musical and also writing for
it's
comedy
probably a
shows.
Small handful of you guys.
I feel like our head writer, Colleen Werthmann, was in, at least did something at the Public off Broadway.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she ain't no slouch.
But honey, you made
the stage
it,
game.
But you got all the way up there to the fucking Winter Palace. What? The Winter Garden.
Was the Winter Garden.
The Winter Garden, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right.
we went, my family goes, we go every year to see a Broadway musical around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. That's so sweet.
Long held tradition.
So...
And I was like, we have to go see School of Rock. A, because you were in it. We weren't even really friends then, but I was like, well, I have a friend in it. And I was so gagged when you were there. And also because I genuinely wanted to see it. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Great movie.
It's so good.
Ugh. And that show, she a crowd pleaser, boy.
She a crowd pleaser.
She a crowd pleaser, big time. Everyone that comes on the ride is going to go see it.
You know,
I'm like, who's singing Robin's show? Overlap. 19 hands go up and they're all seeing School of Rock. It's a hit.
Oh my God, wow, that's amazing. Come on. Really is a hit.
Come yeah. Through.
I gotta see it.
It recently, just last week, I think, earned back its initial recouped.
I think because you posted about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing.
So exciting.
You know who's the gag in that?
Who?
Sierra Bogus.
Who's she? Who is she, though?
She played the... She is not in the show anymore, but okay, she was right. The original Rosalie Mullins, the principal.
Oh.
The Joan Cusack part.
Yes, by Joan Cusack. But for the purposes of the musical, there's kind of a love interest right. thing happening. Ooh,
right.
Of course.
But Sierra is like a Broadway legend. Yeah. She was the original Ariel in Little Mermaid.
Yes.
She played Christine in both Phantom and Love Never Dies.
Yes.
And I would say 30% of my Instagram followers.
Oh my God.
Their profile picture is Sierra Bogus.
Wow.
With a name like Sierra Bogus, you better slay.
You better slay. And that's the thing. That's the crossover appeal of Michael Hartney. Broadway, comedy. Come on. You know what? Okay, it's just, I have to bring this up because I saw this last night. You know what is not a great movie adaptation to what? Broadway? I saw, you know what? I liked it, but I Instagrammed it. I Instagram storied it. I saw Amelie last night. But people were like, I hear it's trash. And I'm like, come on, you guys. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cute. It was not like it did not achieve its fullest potential. But I liked some of the songs. That's, you know what? And that's fine.
It's closing, sadly.
It's closing this week. I caught it on
last
week.
That is so sad when things just go up and go down.
And Philippa Sue, like, come on, gag. She's going to play a fucking Disney princess someday. She better.
She's pretty great.
She's got
she
that
better.
Voice.
She is great.
She is so great. I actually didn't get to see her in the cast of
OG Hamilton.
Hamilton, and her understudy was mm-mm. But, I mean, I imagine Philippa.
You imagine Philippa. Yeah.
Like, I saw her, and she was really such a little.
She's so amazing.
There you go. There
just what a beautiful, like, pristine voice.
Yes.
Burn. Her just letting you have
ooh,
it with Burn.
Ooh, come through, Burn.
What are your thoughts on the Hamilton mixtape?
My thoughts are that so many of those tracks are more radio friendly on the cast recording.
100%.
Yep.
Furthermore, I am not into a solo pop song where you sing through lines that are meant for 12 different motherfucking characters. That doesn't make
for,
a
exactly?
goddamn bit of sense. It's Quiet Uptown.
You did something wrong there.
Oh, did I?
You came for my girl.
No, but
the thing is, I get it. I'm actually fully with you.
I mean, Kelly Clarkson is fine. That's not her fault.
Kelly Clarkson is fine. Yeah, quote Michael Hartney.
All I'm saying is, the logical fallacy of that song is
yeah.
not
yes,
her fault.
Yes, yes, yes.
The problem is that the other winners of American Idol aren't playing the other characters.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Fantasia doesn't come in as Hamilton himself.
Exactly.
Although I will say,
I want Soul Patrol
yes,
being a general
Patrol!
Or some shit.
Oh my God. I think that the mixtape also does the reverse where it's like three different people sing the song meant for one person with Satisfied. It's like,
it's so
why do you have
stupid.
Queen Latifah, Sia, and who else is, and then who's the third?
I don't know.
Someone else, but it's like,
oh, Miguel.
Miguel.
I hate Sia's performance of that song.
Me too.
It is so affected. It's just like, honestly, respect the fact that
my name is Anonymous Skyler. Like,
she's
alien.
Not thinking about a word she's saying. And I think that's the thing is like Lin-Manuel like oversaw it
yeah.
and still let all the intention drop
terrible.
Away.
It's terrible.
I think it's not good.
The one thing I'd say is like, at least they sound different.
Yeah.
I hate covers of like, I hate one-to-one covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember? I don't like either version of this song, but there's that song by Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway.
Yes.
And then Rascal Flatts.
Rascal Flatts.
Covered Life is a Highway. It is indistinguishable.
Yeah. There's
from
no
the
reason for it.
Original Life is a Highway.
Wow.
Other than a man who looks like Shrek is now singing.
Yeah. Also, it was like the theme song to the movie Cars.
Yeah.
Which I don't like.
Like, no. I just don't sign me up for like a literal one-to-one cover.
Sure, no, sure. You're right. But you know
do
what?
Do something with it.
I totally agree with you. And my other criticism about the Hamilton mixtape is they didn't go big enough with it. It's like, if you're going to get some, you're going to do an R&B ballad cover of Burn, fucking get Beyonce to do it. I don't like that Andre Day version.
I feel you.
Okay.
That to me is a Beyonce song.
Okay. What did you think of, what's her name? Jill Scott doing,
No!
I like that one. So you just like blanket, do not like, not even some like redeemable parts of the Hamilton mixtape.
Honestly, this is my bias. I really like Kelly Clarkson's cover. It's Quiet Uptown. Wow. But I understand the criticism of it. Of Everything course. Else, I kind of just weird. Was like, I didn't think it needed to happen.
Sure. I just prefer the cast recording on most counts. Right. So why wouldn't I just listen to that?
Speaking of cast recording, did you record for School of Rock?
I did.
How was that? What was that like? You're in the studio.
It really was wild. Oh my God. So we're in the studio in like, on the west side. And, you know, we're the adult ensemble. So,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, we don't got a ton to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a couple of solo lines in a little song called Faculty Quadrille.
Yes!
Thank you so much. And I have some spoken lines as the gay parent.
Yep. And let me tell you something.
At the top of the album.
There's a moment where Michael Hartney sits down in the show and it earns an applause break.
Yes, I've heard. This is legendary. This is
talk about this is getting your moment.
Apocryphal. I have heard of this too.
When I saw that, I just put one finger up.
Said, yes.
Yes. The bitch did it.
Here's what else the bitch did. And I'm sorry I'm bringing this up. And this is like a little bit of a dredge.
What? God,
I'm nervous for this.
I first fell in love with Michael Hartney, and this is when I didn't really know him, and he had no idea who I was, but it was when everybody, all the UCB gays, well, just gays in general, making It Gets Better videos, and Hartney had a great one, and it's still up. It's so good.
Yeah, of course it's still up. I'm not going to...
You're a 12.
Saved enough gay teens.
I got the It Gets Better moment, got 10 followers on Twitter, and took it the fuck down.
God. It truly is, yeah, the only purpose for that is, like, truly... Kids have reached out to me. There's still a guy I'm in contact with who's now like in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that is a thing. See? Yeah. What a great like tangible sort of, you know, impact you had. That I think your opening line of that was like, okay, kids, like put down like like hit pause on Glee or on Gaga or whatever. It was very good. It was very 2010.
Yeah, it was. Very 2010.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah. That's
I'm so
thing.
Of my time.
You're so of your time.
Yeah, Gaga, topical references.
Glee. Uh-huh.
Glee.
I mean, kind of topical in that, yeah.
Back and speaking then. Of your time, we should ask the question.
Yes.
This is the and Michael told me yesterday that he's got many answers to this question.
Well, then answer them as many ways as you want.
And you can answer as many ways as you want. Okay, so this is the question. Michael Hartney, what... made you say culture was for you? A young Michael, it was the reason why you decided to take a step in a cultural direction. You said, you know what, I've heard of this culture and I think I might explore it.
Like culture's for me.
Culture's
yeah.
for you.
Okay. Yep.
You get it.
Great. So I was one of those like terrible two kids where at age two I was like, mom, hold me, buy me a toy, entertain me.
Youngest?
What's this? What's that? Oldest.
Okay.
Oh.
Just very curious about the world around me.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom and dad would try to think of ways to kind of get me to calm down and shut the hell up for a moment. And I guess one night on ABC, they were airing Superman the movie.
Yep.
I was 2 years old. They plumped me.
They plumped you, know you right what? Down.
They plumped you right there.
I'm owning it.
Plumped them, plumped them, plumped
me
plumped
in front of the TV. And, you know, Ms. Superman the movie, she ain't short.
No.
She long.
She long,
With commercial breaks, that shit's like 3 hours. Ooh.
Is this with Ms. Christopher Reeves?
Oh, yes.
Reeves. Ms. Christopher Reeves?
Singular.
Ms. Christopher Reeves?
Sorry.
Mr. George
R-I-V-A-S.
Reeves played Superman in the 50s in the television show.
Ms. Yes. Christopher.
Thank God.
Anyway, so I shut the hell up for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I was like, I need all of this all the time.
Yes.
And then like, so my mom started buying me Superman comic books. I taught myself to read on Superman comic books. And,
wow.
And it's the least gay thing about me, but I'm a huge fan of Superman to this very day.
But see, wow. And I knew that, but I didn't know it. It just, that was like the... that was like the origin, you know, story of it. That's great. Oh my God. So that, what is this terrible twos thing?
When you're a 2-year-old, you're bad.
Oh, you know, sure.
It's just like an acting out thing.
You're like incorrigible. You just need constant stimulation.
Absolutely.
So victory for the parents there to find Superman.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I really think they.
Yeah.
They were very thankful.
It wasn't a choice. It wasn't like your mother was like, "Oh, Superman's on. This will be what shuts him up." It was just like, "What's
Let's
on TV?
Try it. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
try it."
So, are you fans of the? Are you a fan of the Zack Snyder reboot?
I am not.
Yeah.
I am decidedly
staunchly so
staunchly not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're pretty self-serious. No,
they are endlessly serious.
Yeah,
man. I've never popped open a issue of Superman and went, "Ooh, I love how fucking humorless and serious."
Right,
this is.
Right.
This is so fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just serious, and Superman doesn't care about people. He cares about himself, and he's mopey.
Mm.
Like the ultimate frame in the Zack Snyder Superman cinematic universe is Superman standing in what once was the Capitol building, which had just been atomized.
Yeah.
Corpses on fire, strewn everywhere.
Standing.
And no, he is not standing triumphantly. He's going, "Oh, people aren't going to like me."
Ah!
It's this sad face. And it's not like, "Poor these people." It's,
"Oh, shit.
Oh,
my
man,
image.
Another thing I'm going to get blamed for."
Yeah.
Oh, classic Superman.
Put your cameras away.
Put your cameras away. That's so stupid. Well, then, on the flip side of that question, or this topic, what is your favorite iteration of Superman out of like every piece of like out of like your Smallvilles and all that stuff?
I would say that in filmed media,
yes,
Christopher Reeve for sure.
Christopher Reeve.
In the first Superman movie, I mean, he's good in all of them, but that first one is just—it's my favorite movie, and he's amazing in it.
Mm. See, I've always thought of myself as a Batman gay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I think it's because I'm a Batman gay.
Oh cool.
But I just don't really. I'm realizing now I don't have much of a vocabulary for Superman, and it's one of those things that I sometimes do, which is I really like one thing, and when any other thing is like sort of rivalrous with it, and other people like it, I'm like, no, it's bad.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that adjacent thing.
I actually know. I don't know. It's like that with Star Trek with me because I'm a big Star Wars person.
Oh, I see.
And I don't need to see Star Trek.
So you think that adjacent properties are frequently mutually exclusive?
I feel like I must take a side.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I can't like Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah, no, exactly. And let me tell you, up until recently, I was a Pepsi boy. But now I just feel like I can't be. I'm sorry, Pepsi. I can't be on your side anymore.
Wow.
Not after Kendall.
Not after Kendall.
Not after Kendall.
Oh shit.
Superman's. Yeah, I gotta admit, and Michael, I'm so sorry. This might come as a disappointment. I don't have that much of a vocabulary for Superman.
Well,
that's okay.
I have a question about it. Do you think that they kind of darkened up the Superman films as a response to the success of the Batman?
Oh, Christopher.
Stuff going more dark.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
Man of Steel
was produced by Christopher Nolan's production company. So he kind of hired Zack Snyder for this whole shit show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the serious thing was in for a while, but I think it's kind of over and
because they've
DC
done
has found itself mired in it.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they're trying to make like Justice League fun and hopefully Wonder Woman is going to be fun.
I hear it's good too.
She looks amazing.
Totally. I think it looks amazing.
Uh-huh.
I'm cautiously optimistic that Wonder Woman is going to be
again
everything, honey.
Yes.
I hope it is.
I want to just be screaming.
Yes, Diana.
Yes.
But
let
do
me
you
have it.
Do you remember when there was those rumors that this was like had to be like 6 or 7 years ago? When it was first rumored that Wonder Woman was going to be a movie, which I guess that there's always been rumblings about it, right? But then when it first, it was in some trade that Beyonce was going to be Wonder Woman. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I mean, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was rhetorical. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
I'm sure Gal Gadot was going to be wonderful, but If I have the option of Beyonce.
I have always appreciated Beyonce's screen talents, acting talents.
Guys, what if they made a Wonder Woman movie in the late 90s and it was Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Oh.
100%. I would have been down for it.
Ooh. She would have been so, like, oh my God. She's such like a tigress in that time.
I would have been so into it.
I would have been,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. It might not have been the best movie. But it would have been fun to watch.
Late 90s superhero movies are the actual worst.
Yeah.
Well,
ooh, let me add some Spawn.
Yeah. Ooh, Spawn. Oh, my God. I actually know someone that was in Spawn.
They were in it?
Yes. Sydney. Sydney Boudoir, who I went to college with, was a little girl in the movie Spawn. I think she played Spawn's daughter.
Oh, no. Holy shit.
I'm going to fact check this with my friends that went to college with us, but I'm almost positive that's true.
That is so... Spawn is so quintessentially of its time.
Yeah, what a horrible movie. But so what was the first good superhero movie of that? I guess Spider-Man, right? The 2001 Spider-Man with Tobes?
Oh, X-Men.
X-Men.
People say X-Men in 2000. I'm not a fan of X-Men. Oh. I'm not a super big fan of Spider-Man in 2002.
Marvel in general? You're not a super big fan of Marvel?
I definitely don't really read Marvel books, but I do like a lot of the movies. Mm-hmm. I think that X2 is like...
Great.
Great.
Yeah. That's the one I haven't seen.
And Spider-Man 2 is really good. But I think mostly... Sorry, gang. I think Sam Raimi is a hack.
Yeah, that's fair. With three.
People
like
who
totally
live for like Evil Dead and Army of Darkness and Drag Me to Hell and all this business, I'm like...
No.
He shook the bed with Spider-Man 3 for sure.
Oh, one of the craziest bad movies I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
There are more musical numbers in Spider-Man 3 than in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dog, a musical.
Did you see that?
Yes, twice, bitch.
Oh my God.
I saw that twice.
Why?
Paid for it zero times.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So my partner's family was coming to visit New York and they wanted to see it. So they bought us tickets too. And I was like, these tickets are expensive. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And we watched this thing and my God. So like it starts and you're like, ooh, Taymor, I can get on board with this.
Yeah.
It's like saffron fabric swings. I'm like, yes.
Oh my God.
And then, oh God, it's the, it can be summed up like this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a number where Spider-Man makes his debut and it's fucking cool.
Okay.
He is swinging all around. It's like mind blowing how all of this technology is working. Because it's like those roving robot drone things like the NFL.
Which is literally insane that they use that.
So insane. Because, I mean, if things go wrong, these actors are in danger.
Dead. Yeah.
But these are just incredible acrobatic performers. Yes. It's like so expensive looking and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a pretty dope, actually, edge guitar riff that's playing while all this shit's happening. Uh-huh. It's like, yes, I'm on board with this. Everyone's wrong. It's going to make its money back. It's going to be great.
Oh, no.
And then, so all the Spider-Man stuff, the live action Spider-Man kind of swings off stage and you hear a voiceover of a crying baby and then a giant cardboard cutout, four stories tall, of a crying baby from the rafters, and as it's falling, a cardboard cutout of a Spider-Man hand tips in, and just as like it catches the baby, and the number ends with cardboard. We have just watched a dizzying blend of physical prowess and technological achievement.
And it ends
with fucking cardboard.
It is
pure madness.
Wow.
And at that point, your arms folded right there.
Folded. I literally, I think, went, I don't know how to describe this to podcast people. You know, when you're like, who knows, with your arms?
Well.
And I did that, and I think I turned to someone. And I went, what?
Yeah.
It was
honestly
fucking crazy.
I have to say I'm happy that I missed it. Also because I never thought that Bono was going to write good music for a musical. I'm guessing the music was pretty bad, right?
Well, I mean, some of it was bad. But some of it was good. Okay.
Okay.
I'm revealing my basicness. U2 is my favorite band by a mile.
There you go.
Okay, sorry.
I love them. Well, it's fine. People shit on them all the time.
You and Phoebe Robinson
own. Oh, I know. I loved that about her.
Yeah. She loves
I listened to that podcast and I just snapped and screamed and loved it. The problem with the score is that a bunch of equipment was put in front of speakers.
Oh, feedbacky.
So you can't hear lyrics. It was crazy. Wow. I also read the Glenn Berger, one of the book writers, wrote a book called Song of Spider-Man, where he's talking about
Song of Spider-Man,
all this promise and how it snowballed into this
nightmare.
Yeah. And one of the things was, we built this huge set piece that pretty nicely, snugly fits right over the main speaker.
Oh.
Hope you're cool with it, everyone.
What?
So it's...
That's just epic.
Yeah.
Like, what an epic fuck up. Like, what not to do. Like,
Julie, why didn't you get in there?
I think she might be a little bit of a crazy mess too, though, right?
A little bit of one?
Wait, hold on.
The first time, Disney was like, no, Julie.
Yeah.
No, Julie.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, crazy lady. Oh, sorry, witch tits. I don't think so.
Witch tits.
Then when she won all these Tonys and had all this acclaim, it's like, well, I guess let's just let Julie be Julie. I mean, that has to be what happened,
and then
right?
Julie was
let
like,
Julie be Julie.
I do a jukebox musical of the Beatles. And it was...
Yeah, I didn't like that movie either.
I have to
ask you about Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh.
This is a man that you know.
I definitely have met him a bunch and worked with him, and
okay. And he's a man with 2 feet firmly planted on Earth.
I mean, all of my dealings with him have been very pleasant and
good.
Nice.
So there's no tea.
I can't say there's a ton of tea about.
I think he would give me the tea
about AL Dubs. I'm trying to think of like Andrew gossip.
Just that he's like an eccentric person, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember he guest judged American Idol and he was crazy with the contestants.
So what did
like,
he say?
You were playing a glamour-puss. And like, and this woman's eyes and was like, you're a glamour-puss. And she was like, oh my God. Okay.
And the woman was like unsettled.
She was like, oh.
So here's the coolest thing that happened that was like, a little peek behind the AL Dubs curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Was there was this like, you know, bit of transition music that Andrew wrote and then did not like during tech.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of standing on stage and he's saying, I can't, that's not that. Get me a piano.
Oh my God.
So I guess it was, there was this piano that was like in the, one of the wings of the Winter Garden and someone pushed it out and it was like a rehearsal piano. And Andrew went up to it and I see him doing like math in his head.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And then he just plunks out the thing, the new transition music. His assistant is watching feverishly because he knows he's about to have to go tell the pit exactly what's this new music is.
Yeah.
And so to watch creation like that,
yeah.
And then like a very efficient process for delivering that information.
And executing.
Wow.
Because literally then we walked off stage, reset the scene, did the transition with the new music. And he was like, yeah.
That'll work. Whoa.
It was fucking crazy.
That's insane.
Great. Yeah. So that's it's not like juicy, but it's, I think.
No, Matt wants the juice, but I want the tea. And the tea does not necessarily need to be juice, honey.
The tea amazing. Is different than the juice. Rule number 89 of culture. The tea is different from the juice.
From or than?
I don't care, bitch.
Okay.
The tea is different than the juice.
The tea is different than the juice. Okay, so besides Superman.
Oh, right. I know one.
Yeah?
Walt Disney World.
Oh and...
Why do you say, like you're surprised? Like this isn't a big part of your life. Don't be apologizing.
No, I'm not apologizing
I know.
For it.
Don't cover. No. Don't cover.
I'm not covering. it's just non-chronological. So
would you prefer
Superman?
Okay, yes.
So then March 25th, 1989, watched my first episode of SNL.
Yes,
yes.
Mary Tyler Moore
was the host.
The late beloved. Yes.
What age are we?
I was days from 9 years old.
Okay, okay, okay.
5 days from
days
turning nine.
Days from nine. Could be a song.
And yeah, there was this robot repair sketch. It's uh-huh. pretty famous uh-huh. that Phil Hartman did that I was just like, oh, mm-hmm. like my brain like rewired
wow.
from watching it. So then that year, like the Naked Gun came out. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the year that Spaceballs like started airing on cable, yeah. which I had. So it was like all these parody,
right.
farce, satire things,
yeah,
all at once. And
I love that shit when it's done well. When it's done well, I love that shit. I guess the last really good like parody movie, I love Scary Movie 3.
Uh-huh.
But like then they got so bad.
I think the last great one for me was. That was not a scary movie. Was not another teen movie.
Love Not Another Teen that's Movie. Yeah. That was my answer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is
really
a good one.
Is good.
Favorite.
When she goes over to the girl and they're trying to make her hot, takes off her glasses and puts her head on and goes, done.
I mean, she goes, I'm a genius. I'm a miracle worker. And then there's just a beat of them both staring in the mirror for like a second too long. And it's like kind of perfect editing. Yeah, it's great. Wait, favorite SNL cast member, Hartman or I have a guess, Mike Myers.
Correct.
Mike Myers. Who Hartney got to see at another Forever Dog podcast live episode. Kevin McDonald show at the New York City Podfest. And that was so fun. And then we all hung out afterwards.
It was
You
really
got to talk to him,
crazy.
Right?
A little tiny bit.
A tiny
and
bit.
And that was just meant enough. The whole world
oh,
to me.
So fun. It was so great.
He's such a legend.
I mean, and hearing him talk, and Michael, you can speak to this too, but it was... Like, it sucked the air out of the room. Like, you were just listening to his every word. And what stuck with me was he's making this documentary now about, I forget who. And I think, Joe, do you know, remember who this was about?
Well, he had made a documentary about Shep Gordon.
It was Shep Gordon, yes.
Like a manager of musicians.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think Kevin asked him, like, why he made that documentary or why he wanted to. And then Mike was saying how he wanted to show that you can be successful and have this prolific career with but also be a nice person.
Yeah.
It's like,
and be
oh,
kind.
And be kind. That's what he said. And I was like, oh, well, then that must mean Mike Myers is a kind person. And like, I fully believe that. And that's the tea.
Well, he was certainly kind to us.
Yes.
And then I had bought his Canada book.
Uh-huh.
I was in a bookstore. I didn't know this book existed. I was in a bookstore in LA and I just suddenly see Mike Myers, Canada. Uh-huh. And I was like, what the fuck? Grab it. It's a giant book. Written by my idol
about
that I've
Canada?
Never heard of mm-hmm. about Canada. And I was like, well, I'm paying full price for this fucking book. I can't believe I'm doing this.
Wow.
And immediately, snatched it up.
Did you like the book?
I love
it. I gotta get it.
Is it funny?
It's hilarious. I mean, you know, a lot of it's about Canada, but it's about him growing up.
Okay.
I mean, A, learning about Canada is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And B, learning about him... I mean, he definitely folds in getting into comedy, training at Second City, getting hired for SNL. So it's great.
Yeah.
So is it one of those autobiographies that like is disguised as something else? Sort of.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
I had no idea he had this book out either until I think probably the show. But now you're reminding me of it. I want to get it again.
I'll tell you the worst autobiography that's out there.
Here we go.
I can't.
That stupid Neil Patrick Harris Choose Your Own Adventure autobiography.
You know
what? Written entirely as a Choose Your Own Adventure.
Matt Rogers, that shit was on you.
Wait. Listen, I bought that shit. I wanted it to be better than it was.
Because you like a fucking Neil. You like
I
a clean,
love me some Neil.
You like a clean cut gay with a gimmick.
I'm kidding. I do like a clean cut gay with
clean
a gimmick.
Gay with a gimmick. Wow.
Wachow. Coming to SNL.
Coming to SNL.
Well, no, it's so bad. It's so distracting.
What?
It's like, if you want to find out what happened when I got cast in Rent and fucked a woman, flip to page 89. If not, and you want to see a fucking crazy picture, flip to 16. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
it's like, I want to read the book of your life. That's why I got it.
Right.
I get that it's fun.
It wasn't.
Also, magic is so stupid.
That is the kernel of truth that we arrive at.
I like when a gay, though, has like a really like not gay passion.
Sure. Like Superman.
Mine for Superman.
Would you consider magic and not gay?
No, I think it's like us, like a really like brutally dorky straight person.
Yeah,
thing.
I agree.
What's your straight passion?
Video games.
Oh,
but I think, but there is a culture of gay gamer. With a Y, but like, I don't fully buy into that culture either. Cause there are some real fucking weirdos out there.
I think I have exclusively gay interests, but I would say
not exclusively.
I would say the roller coaster thing is like borderline.
Yeah.
Like I'm like on screamscape.com, which is like a website that is devoted to North American theme parks.
Oh,
like, and I know like all the roller coaster designers. I know like all the companies, like, and all the types of coasters. Like, and it's like a. And one time I went to Paramount Kings Island in Ohio by myself when I was on tour doing something. And I went by myself and I found myself online for this ride. It was called Banshee. It was like a inverted roller coaster. And like I was online with this couple that clearly were like roller coaster people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about it and they were getting into it. And I was like,
am I gonna?
Excuse me, hi.
Hi.
And I like all I'm of a your sudden, people. Like, I was like being a real freak with them.
That's
like
fun.
We all had that like looked up the roller coaster database and like looked it all up and knew exact heights of the coasters and speeds and like how many inversions everything had. And it was, yeah. But I was really into that.
Yeah,
I said that's like a really straight thing. And
that's your
one straight thing about me is, but then like when you get down to it, it really to me is all about Disney and Universal. It's about Orlando. It's about immersive theme park experiences.
Yeah, but I feel like roller coaster culture and immersive theme park culture are different.
Like
totally
different.
Six Flags is not a
an immersive.
It's not a theme park. It's an amusement park.
And anytime someone says to me like, I'm more of a Six Flags person than a Universal Studios person or a Disney person, I'm like, then you have no imagination.
Right.
Then you're trash.
Absolutely. So with
if you like to get sick and spin around, you should be in a hospital.
In a what?
Hospital.
Okay. They.
So I'm gonna have my quick stroke real quick, and when we come back, we're gonna get into it about Disney World with Michael Hartnett because I can't let him go, not on this podcast, without getting into it. Also, these bitches have betrayed me, so you'll find out about that right after this message from our fucking sponsors.
Okay, girl, we have for you all a little bit of an offer with our friend Michael Hartnett. Now, Michael, let's talk about Casper Mattress.
What a stirring tale.
What a stirring tale. Well, you know what? We pitched this movie called 5 Days for Warby Parker starring
Anne Hathaway. And it became a huge hit.
Huge film.
Winner of 3 Golden Globe nominations.
The Mara sisters both won.
Both won.
For their small supporting roles.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yes, they're under fives. Now, let's pitch the movie for Casper Mattresses, honey. I think this is a magical fairy tale.
Yeah, well, so we have a magical fairy tale of which, of course, stars Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick is the princess.
Princess, because, you know, once you see someone in a role and it really works, you just keep doing that.
You're talking about Cinderella.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Into the Woods.
She killed that. Killed it.
Now, Anna Kendrick stars as Princess
Glina.
Glina. And she is out there, and this is like a princess of the, and the, a modern tale.
Mm-hmm.
A modernization of the princess.
She's mattressless in the beginning.
She's mattressless in the beginning, but then a witch gives her a Casper mattress, honey.
Played by Cela Ward.
Yes, thank you. Finally.
And who's back?
Who's back?
She comes back like Halley's Comet.
Once every 16 years, yeah. You see
Cela Ward working.
Absolutely. And the witch says,
every once and again, you might say,
And you think of Cela.
She's one of my sisters.
Oh!
So she gives her this enchanted
mattress.
Yeah.
And she either can save $50 on it or do a 100-day free trial.
And 100-day free trial.
This is real.
Is this real?
You can do a Casper mattress 100-day free trial.
You can do a 100-day free trial by logging on to
CasperTrial.com/LostCulturistas. It might be part of the offer. Who knows? But anyway,
That's like the end of act one.
That's the end of act one.
Yeah, and then in the second act, her best friend, played by Taylor Swift, in a terrible performance.
Horrible.
She's so bad in this.
Yeah.
It's like, stop putting pop stars in movies.
She plays the squirrel best friend, and the CGI is terrible.
Terrible.
It just is so bad.
The mocap dots are still, frame.
You can still see them. It's such a bad performance. So bad. And such a bad movie. And such a bad moment in the movie, I should say. The movie's grand.
But the squirrel friend betrays her. Betrays her. Gleena.
Yeah.
Played by Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, by setting a fire in the forest.
Wow.
And the bed burns.
But then the witch is revealed to be a fairy. And the fairy gives her a new Casper mattress that she has to pay around $950 for, because she did have that $50 discount. For a mattress that has just the right sink, just the right bounce, with two foam technologies.
I was going to say latex foam and memory foam.
That's right.
Oh, wow. And that's actually a twist in later part of the movie, because Gleena, the princess, loses her memory.
Oh, my God.
And then she loses her latex.
She lays down on the memory foam and she gets it back. Oh, and then she finds her latex under the bed, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Because that prince is played by
Orlando Bloom.
That's correct.
There you go. And it's...
I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Orlando Jones.
Better. So guys, log on to... Don't log on. There's no login. That's the user experience. It's already perfected. You don't have to log in for this. CasperTrial.com/LasCulturistas.
Yeah. For your trial. Really change your life the way that this film changed Anna Kendrick's life, because her career is over now.
And what's the film called?
The film is called Once Upon a Mattress.
And honey, that is a little bit of an offer.
And we're back with Michael Hartney. And I could say you just heard a little bit about A Magical World. And I'm ready to talk more about A Magical World. And you guys, I have breaking tea. Did you see what I posted today?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so... For everyone at home, did you see this, Producer Joe? Yes, you did. You commented. All right, so a while back, I did a little change.org petition, literally kind of as a joke, saying the Trump animatronic shouldn't be able to speak in Hall of Presidents. Mm-hmm. It got like 15,000 signatures, lo and behold.
Congrats.
And whatever. I mean, but
media
then I
coverage?
But then I was like, yeah, I really believe this. Like, this should not happen. This is like a place for families and children and international populace. So, like, why do we have to listen to this? Now the tea that it's probably not going to happen. The animatronic is probably not going to speak because Disney doesn't want it to deal with it.
Right.
Trump won't cooperate.
And the Imagineers they don't know what to do.
They're kind of like, well, in a rock and a hard place, because the thing has to reopen.
Yeah.
But also, like, you don't even know if you want them to record it because of what could be going on with Russia.
Right, right, right.
If you haven't read the news and you only listen to this podcast, like, shit's gone down with Russia. So you gotta look that up.
So thank you, America's number one news source.
We're not your
Matt
only harbingers Rogers. Of culture.
So
I'm your most trusted news source, and you can get that right.
What's fascinating is, well, I mean, wasn't this also, like, floating around, was that they wanted to cut the time down from 23 minutes to, like...
Well, this is a good topic. What do you think of the longer Disney attractions? These shows, these performances.
Country Bear Jamboree. Sorry.
Well, that is shortened. That was shortened from what? 16 to 11 minutes?
Yes, there we go.
That's a cool thing that I know.
I think it was in the article.
Oh, that's
to be fair.
Maybe that's why I know it.
Yeah.
All right, I feel better. For me, they can be long.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Same.
Especially because I don't know if y'all know this, but Florida is hot.
Florida's warm. It's warm there.
If you
want to
go into a building,
yeah,
you don't want to be kicked out. Mm-mm. That shit has AC.
There's nothing like the AC when you go in there.
AC
in Orlando.
In Florida? Are you kidding me? It is the best.
Honestly, every time I go down to Universal Studios and I go into the ET room, I'm like, oh my God, thank God.
Thank God. Let me see the stars, honey.
I don't like that attraction very much, although it's a little bit of a gag.
It's kind of a gag.
Love it.
Yeah, you know what? I do love it.
Here's what I don't love, and this is weird. When they get to E.T.'s planet,
then it gets weird.
That's weird.
Gets weird. Don't like it. And ready? That room? Warm.
All of a sudden, warm.
It's warm.
Yeah, what happened to the temp? And you know,
and
maybe
non-canon, those aliens, those aren't in the fucking movie.
Non-canonical.
Non-canonical aliens. The one that's like, welcome home.
Do you think that Spielberg was like, well, we've really got to get our people, just, we've really got to sign off on all of these. Yes, this one with 90 eyes.
Yeah,
perfect.
Sure, that one. And the rest of them, you know, just make them little ETs. I'm tired.
Oh my.
They should be small ETs. That's, yeah, that's better. In fact, this one that's the flower, can we get rid of her? No?
She's already stapled in. Those didn't make any sense, but yeah, I did not clock that it was warm in that room.
You know what? I changed my mind. I don't like it anymore.
Aww. I love it.
See, I have such fond childhood memories on that ride.
What a great cue.
But why is there no animatronic Drew? There should be an animatronic Drew.
Okay. Drew's the
Barrymore.
Oh.
It took you a second.
I think of her as Gertie.
Right.
Oh, right.
She wasn't
Drew yet.
She wasn't, you know,
Drew.
What I mean? That's what I was going to say. She was not Drew. She was not Drew as we know her.
I guess she never had the opportunity to be Gertie for me. It was always young, little Drew Barrymore.
What's the tea? Is that getting struck down to make way for something else?
I feel like that's got to be next. Also at Universal Studios Florida, what's old is that Terminator 3D show, which is not holding up.
No.
I haven't seen her.
Well, she, though, was supposed... This is the tea.
I'm obsessed with all of this.
This is the
gendering
tea.
Gendering these rides. Gendering the rides. Experiences in films.
Terminator 2, she was supposed to get knocked down early on because James Cameron, they were talking to her...
For Avatar.
About putting Avatar in that space.
Oh, Avatar.
Avatar. And now, famously, we know she, though, it has now just opened up in Animal Kingdom... Where you bitches are going next week.
Bitch, we are out there on a gig, and Hartney, God bless him, was like, just emailed everybody in the group, was like,
yeah,
hey, not to be a monster, but Bowen and I are going to fucking Disney World, and we want to go see, what is it called?
World of Pandora.
World of Pandora, but then what's the ride called? Rite of Passage?
No.
Flight of Passage,
which I've just realized is a pun on Rite of Passage, which... and I hate it. I hate that.
Yeah.
I just realized it in this second.
And those fucking TVs, those TV ads where you see the fucking animatronic blue person just saying,
welcome to Pandora. Wenate Kamea, that's what it is. Wenate Kamea.
Oh, cool, okay.
I speak Navi, boys.
Oh, great.
Come and get me, boys.
Some unobtainium, honey?
Unobtainium!
But that name is apparently like just legendary. It's like sort of like this.
Navi.
No. But it's like it's been in literature throughout the ages. The name Unobtainium has been. Like,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
apparently
I didn't know
that's what, like. I was having this conversation with someone. I was like, "What a fucking stupid name! Like they couldn't have thought of something better." And they were like, "No, it's actually has
a cultural history."
I actually don't believe them at all.
They showed me.
Here's the fucking reality
an
about.
Article.
Here's the reality.
They
about.
Showed me scrolls, illustrated
ancient
parchment.
Scrolls. They had the receipts, honey.
The receipts.
Here's the tea about World of Pandora.
We're gonna
I'm
be
hearing there are some issues.
Okay.
And I want to say something because I know that you're a Disney guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
As a Universal gay, I'm not throwing shade at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I get disappointed sometimes when I feel like something that I loved so much when I was little has become a mall. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, but it's always been a fucking mall.
Not really.
Okay. Hartney, what say you?
I mean, I do understand the frustration with,
mm-hmm.
another price hike. Another...
Right.
You know, deluxe experience that you'd have to pony up for.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you don't have to do any of those things.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me feeling entitled to Disney.
Right. Well, I think that is, I feel like that is, it's an insane phenomenon that so many people feel like an ownership.
I know.
Of
yeah.
Yes.
This corporation. I mean, it's really bizarre. And I'm not immune to it at all.
Right.
Yeah, but like, it's sweet that we all care so much about this thing, but it really is a company with like, you know, a board in a glassed conference room.
And they would kill you if they had to.
Oh, they would.
They would.
They'd snap my neck.
That's the thing. If they knew you would expose their secrets, they would kill you in a second. So would Taylor Swift.
She would watch
the light leave your eyes, Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
anyone with over $1 million, I think, would kill you.
Would you kill
someone? I would.
Okay, I was
if I had money to protect, you're dead. If you're a threat to me, you're done.
So you are...
I would kill.
You are forecasting your manslaughter.
Mm-hmm. No, murder.
I'm
premeditated.
Premeditated murder.
I'm kidding.
I'm sorry.
I guess I just feel...
Oh, but speaking of like this, just remembering that it's a corporation, like even this fucking article that you posted today about the Hall of Presidents, mm-hmm. Like Bob Iger fucking made a statement about it back like right after the election. Like even it's gone all the way up to like the highest ranks of Disney
mm-hmm.
for him to be like, I will come out and make a statement about the Hall of Presidents. Isn't that like that's insane?
It's a bizarre position they found right? themselves in. That's for sure. I don't know what they'll yeah. do.
I will say when I went to Hall of Presidents in 2014, I was so fucking scared
yeah.
that someone Would was going something. To boo Obama.
Yeah. yeah.
I was terrified. It did not happen.
Okay. Yeah.
It restored my faith in America. Uh-huh. And do you know what I did? I burst into tears.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is not beautiful. It is pathetic.
No, I love it.
So that trip, that January 2014 trip to Disney. So I had first gone in 91 with my family.
Yes.
As a kid. Mm-hmm. Then I went on spring break when I was 18 with like high schoolers.
Yes. Were we a homo at this point? Or
we
no?
were an out homo.
Agreed. Oh,
we
were, youngly out.
Yeah, she I came out when I was 16.
Okay. Come on, girl.
Come on.
So so we went to the House of Blues in
downtown
Disney or whatever the
Disney chef? Springs.
Disney
now.
Springs. Now.
Now Disney Springs. And we had a server who said, I said something. We were kind of joking around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I must have said something slightly queenie or something. Oh, remember that word, queenie? I said it because the story is from the 90s. And
Taraji's character in Benjamin Button was named Queenie. Some facts for the kids.
Great, great.
For you children.
I have a good Benjamin Button story. And
need that.
He went, hey man, you're being a little, and he like flipped his wrist down and he went, you're being a little Disney.
Whoa.
And I was like, well, I am Disney motherfucker. And if you have a problem with it, I guess you can fuck off and not get a tip from us.
Oh, did you say this?
I was pissed.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
And this table, the table of my friends was also not having it.
God bless.
Did he get fired?
No, he apologized. I mean, he was being nice up until then. It's not like he said, you're a faggot, I'm going to kill you.
He probably thought he was being funny.
He definitely thought he was being funny.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man, you're being a little Disney. Oh, God, that's the worst sentence I've ever heard.
So for those of you who are listening,
I probably didn't call him a motherfucker, but I definitely expressed that you're talking sentiment. To an out gay person who doesn't appreciate what you're saying.
So for those of you, who can't see, like right before the Disney, it's just like limp rest. It's like boom, boom.
And threw that wrist down.
Oh, I hate that
disgusting.
Shit.
Disgusting.
It was gross.
I hate when you find that in those parks too, which is like what's so frustrating about the whole Florida. Trump animatronic thing is that you remember it is Florida.
Yeah.
And like a lot, like there is a lot of trash that rolls through there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like.
But I'll say I've never seen anyone give any shade to any same-sex couple or anything like that.
Sure. I think they leave it at the door.
And and Hartney and her going during gay days.
Are you really? Is it during gay days?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Pandora's going to be lit.
I mean, bring that red tiche, honey. We're going to be wearing red tiche.
Oh, my God.
We're going to be wearing red tiche. We'll bring back the hanky code. Why not? Oh,
yeah.
The Tina's going to be flowing.
Tina's going to
is that what they say?
There's meth everywhere.
There's meth everywhere in Pandora, I heard.
Oh my God.
They start growing
the it.
Yeah. After the first movie, that's actually the plot of the second movie.
The night before we are there,
yes.
I think Tidal Wave, which is like the gay party at like Typhoon Lagoon.
No!
Can you imagine getting just like fucking jacked off in the wave pool?
Oh my God.
That thing
I
is going to be just,
want that.
Just, there's just going to be like a layer of gonorrhea on the top of that lazy river.
A film.
I'm so sad we're not there longer.
So stay longer.
No, we can only go there for like a small window of time because we're only there for the weekend.
Yeah. Are you doing a full day?
Well, no, it's like we're doing a night, right?
So we're opening the park, then we're going back, doing our gig,
yeah,
and then we're going back at night.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed with this commitment.
It's amazing. And meanwhile, everyone else is like, well, half the group is going, the other half is like, yeah, we're gonna.
So did you fast pass already?
We fast passed. Yeah. That's
because we're getting put up at a hotel with our job, and we were like, this is not enough. So the three of us got a room at All Star Music so that we could get fast passes and extra magic hours.
Oh my god, extra magic hours. Well,
like the waking nightmares that we are.
So are you getting a park hopper, or are you just going to hang out?
No, we're just doing Animal Kingdom.
And the thing is, if we change our minds, we can always upgrade to park hopper at any time.
Which we did. That's we literally did. I don't think we're going to need to, but... You're not going to want to... Well, we could talk a lot about which park has the magic hours. Whatever, but like you at home are like literally asleep.
Yeah, we've talked about Superman, Disney.
That's what I love though, and the listeners know that.
I mean,
they love me for it. I think
someday soon, and I will prophesy this. There will be a June someday where we bring all the queer adjacent people and we all go. We have to go during gay days.
I really want to go. And also
it has to be during gay days. I don't know. I think it'd be so fun.
It would be fun, but you can make it your own gay day in October when there's no craziness going on.
I sort
on.
Of agree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
fine.
You can make your own
gay
day.
We have our gay day experience because it just is serendipitous.
Yes.
But I am like all about
a fall.
I'm all about like getting there in October. Yeah. I'm into right after New Year's as well.
For sure.
Is that a lull?
Ghost the thing is, the temperature is a little funky.
Oh, totally.
But yeah, I mean, I used to go for New Year's. I went 2 years in a row.
Wow.
That's
crazy. I did Orlando
That's
New Year's.
That's peak crowds.
When Hogwarts was first opened, we did New Year's Eve in Alonzo Adventure in Universal Studios, and it was crazy crowded.
And here's what Matt Rogers did. Mm-hmm. He was waiting.
I don't
in
regret
line.
It.
He was waiting in line with Chelsea, his sister Chelsea, for Forbidden Journey.
Young sister.
Harry Potter Forbidden Journey.
24.
The line was nuts. And so they decided to just walk in and cut the whole fucking line.
Not correct. The line to the Wizarding World at large was 3 hours long. You couldn't get even into the land.
So describe this.
I was going to have to wait to get 3 hours just to get into the land to look at the fucking
castle.
And I was like,
oh, right, because it wasn't even Diagon Alley. It's just stupid Hogsmeade.
Now they have Diagon Alley, but at first they didn't. So I was like, you know what? Come on. And we just walked past the line, honey. Walked right in.
And no one stopped you.
Nobody even dreamed.
You just have to walk with purpose, I guess.
You just got to act like you know where you're going at all times. You can get it anywhere. I think
if you look like you know where you're going,
if you look like,
I agree with
if
this.
If you look like you know what's up, you're getting
rule
in.
Number 17.
Look like you know where you're going.
One more time. Rule number 17 of culture.
Look like you know where you're going.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good one.
That's actually that's a really practical one.
Yeah. It's like be the applicable.
Act like
the person you want to be in the world.
You know what? Say a word like you know where you're going.
Exactly.
Even if it's not real.
Say a non-word like you've been saying this word all your life and that it's a real word.
So when you're down there in Orlando, is it really just a Disney affair, or do you ever dip your toe in the Universal Studios parks?
So I had never been to Universal and I had this like final week before School of Rock started rehearsals on Broadway, and I knew I wasn't going to be taking vacation anytime soon.
So, yeah.
So I was like, well, honey, we've been to Disney a couple of times now. Mm-hmm. Why don't we try Universal Studios? And he was very gracious and game and indulges me on these stupid theme park adventures.
And was this with Jason and Kristen, or no? That was a different trip.
No, that was Jason and Kristen. I went to Disneyland with.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
When we went to LA to
do Dead Dad's Club. Yeah.
Really great sketch show. Mm-hmm.
Douglas Wydick was in it.
Michael Hartney directed.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah. True story. I was also in it.
I designed the postcard.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was, yeah, that was a fun one.
Anyway, we went to Universal for the first time, and we stayed at Cabana Bay.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
And it really was.
We just did that one.
And it was great. And it was very fun, but also affirmed that I am doggedly Disney.
Okay, explain.
He likes atmosphere.
I like... I feel like so many of the attractions at Universal rely on screens and a motion simulator.
Okay.
Which if Disney only had rides like that, I would also be very sick of that.
Sure.
So I just feel like it's a diversity of mode of attraction that I'm looking for in a theme park.
And right.
There were so many screens and like my constitution can only take so much in a row.
Yes.
So like we'd have to take these breaks. Like I can't look at another blurry ass tiny approximation of Helena Bonham Carter on a screen. There's only so much of that in my life.
It was pretty fierce though.
Oh my god,
it was great.
It was fine.
No, it was great.
She fucking...
Ready for my, like, here are my Universal gags. Here's the one where I was like, why aren't people talking about this one? Ms. Mummy Honey.
Yes! Oh, no, everyone
we
talks about
mommy.
It.
I'm obsessed with the mummy.
Yeah, the
that
mummy
fake
the mummy.
Ending, bitch.
Yeah, the fake ending was the tea. And when they kill the girl and her blood splashes on you.
Obsession.
And the roof lights on fire, bitch.
And it's
drag.
So hot.
It's
talk
drag.
About, talk about warm.
Talk about warm.
I love DT because it's classic dark ride. Ready? Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the
magical.
Hat.
Magical.
Cat in the Hat.
You know
that
what?
That is a magical dark ride.
Lovely. They've toned it down a lot. It doesn't spin at all. It used to be better because it would whip around and it was kind of fun. Now it just is fully stationary because a little fucking kid fell out of it.
Oh, shit.
Fucking tape the kid down.
Yeah.
I always
what?
Blame the parents.
They got it. Yeah. They got it. It's the onus is on the parents to tape their child down.
Just hold the kid.
Tape down your children,
tape
parents.
Down your child. So, what do you think of the Jurassic Park?
Oh, terrible.
I think that the one in Florida is better than the one in California.
100%.
What? I disagree. I think it's the other way around.
When I was on it in Florida, there was a woman behind me with her elderly parents, and she was. This is literally the ride. Ready? Oh, look, my tree. Oh, look, my box. Dad, it's a little dinosaur. Ma, look at this fern. Like, literally every noun.
No.
Every noun
no.
that we floated by.
Pitch that at Characters Welcome.
It was
I would watch that.
Fucking crazy.
Look at that.
So then you get much wetter in Florida.
Oh, sure.
And that water, bitch, I smelled like full barf for the rest of the day.
It's not clean.
It was not clean. No. I was wearing barf water on my boudrice for the rest of the day.
You get even wetter on the Popeye ride.
No, on the Dudley Do-Right ride.
I didn't go on the Popeye ride because of that.
But that would have cleaned you.
But I did go on the Dudley Do-Right ride.
Such a gag.
So good.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Also classic Disney feeling.
Yes, yes.
Could use a little bit of plussing, like could use a coat of paint. The characters could use a coat.
100%.
It's like a more grown-up Splash
Mountain. Shitty.
There's a tiny drop.
And there's
before
a
there's
huge
a huge drop.
Mm-hmm.
The tiny drop
gotcha.
Got us soaked.
Yeah.
The big drop?
Spritz.
Not a rivulet of water. Hit our persons.
I love that.
The tiny, I mean, it is literally 2 feet. We just got fucking drenched. So all that said, Universal was very fun.
Okay.
I was obsessed with like Fast Food Boulevard.
Yeah.
Simpsons stuff.
The Simpsons stuff is really cool. Love it.
So fun.
You know what? I totally agree with you. There's too many screens.
Many
of the rides are the same. Like the Transformers ride and the Spider-Man ride.
Same ride.
It completely ruined Spider-Man, which was... revolutionary.
I still think Spider-Man's way better than Transformers because at least you know what the fuck is happening in Spider-Man.
I guess
you could say the same thing about the Transformers movies, though. I never know what the hell's going on.
I don't know
on.
What's happening. Oh, yeah. Could you close really more tight on this undulating box of nothing?
Yeah.
I never have any idea what's happening. People love that.
Do you understand what's going on in the Avengers movies? I don't know what the fuck's happening in any of them.
I do know what's going on in Avengers movies, but the Transformers movies have me lost.
Yeah, those are done.
The second one. But at this point, yeah, you know what? I've gotten lost.
I can't even go see the Avengers movies because I just think...
Here's the problem. They're all the same movie now.
Yeah.
They started disparate. Like, people are like, oh, the best Captain America movie is Winter Soldier, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
That movie is just another, like, Avengers cut-and-paste movie. The first Captain America movie takes place in the 40s and has its own identity. The first Thor movie is, like, this juxtaposition of this mythical character in a, like, small town, like, learning how to be.
And
it has its own character. Every one of those movies and sequels since just feels like, oh, and here's Avengers chapter 22, the Avengering.
They tried to smush it all into,
it's just,
I think,
all feels like this, just another in an ongoing saga, which is fine, but I feel like each thing should have its own personality.
I think what they tried to do was they looked which one made the most money, and that was Iron Man, and they said, when they're their own movies, that's fine. But when they're all together, try to make them feel like Iron Man. That's why they all have that kind of like Robert Downey Jr. wit to them. And they kind of have this like pace that's like a little too fast. You know, it's like things are just happening a little too fast. And like not every actor is like good at that. But it feels like because Iron Man was the most successful and maybe they feel like Robert Downey Jr. is like the one that they have to like accommodate. It feels like everything else is trying to be that and isn't best suited to that, like, because like you're saying, they all are so different.
Right. I hope Spider-Man Homecoming. I have high hopes.
The kid's cute. The kid's good.
Cute kid
playing Spider-Man.
I like the character of Spider-Man. I could like I see Iron Man in it, and I'm already annoyed.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, I know.
I just want a Spider-Man movie.
I know, right?
But you give me Marissa Tomei, and you got my money.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Marissa Tomei as Aunt May.
Oh,
it's so sad.
Oh,
but like. God. Yeah, as like old ass Aunt May, it's literally Marissa Tomei coming in snatched. Like, what's going on at school? Talk to me, seriously. I'm like, what? I want to know.
You to go from Rosemary Harris to Sally Field.
Yeah.
To Marissa Tomei. Yeah. What a crazy.
Next is going to be Margot Robbie.
Evolution poster. Yeah, exactly.
Margot Robbie is Aunt May.
It's going to be Dakota Fanning's daughter.
Oh my God.
Yo, can we talk about how Elle Fanning ate Dakota Fanning alive?
Oh no.
I think rule number 101 of culture.
Elle Fanning ate Dakota Fanning alive. I think Dakota just doesn't want to work that much anymore.
Who doesn't want to work?
Dakota, I think she's probably tapped out. She wants to
I saw her on some talk show. She was charming.
Yeah, I'm
like,
sure she's
weeks
fine.
Ago.
Yeah.
You sure it wasn't Elle?
I am sure it wasn't Elle, in fact.
So if you have to take one of them out of the burning building, who do you pick?
What a weird
the one I feel I can get
most
like,
safely.
Yeah, exactly. The one I'm most certain I could save.
Okay, they're both equally close to the door.
This is such a
I just
weird
grab one with one arm and one with
I'll
the
tell
other.
You
they're little blonde girls.
I kick them both down. I run to the next. I run next door where Abigail Breslin is drowning, and I save her.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Spencer Breslin, but sure.
Spencer Breslin. No, I don't care for Abigail Breslin.
Do you know, I was watching this at the gym the other day.
I don't care for her.
Abigail Breslin is apparently in the Dirty Dancing remake.
Yeah, she's 48 now.
But she's like, she does not look, I'm sorry. But
wait,
like,
as baby?
As baby, but it's like, I don't, and this is no shade to Abigail.
Your face right now.
This is no shade to Abigail, but she.
As baby?
This face is cracked.
Just physically. Not right for the part.
No.
Not right for the part.
Really not right for most things. I think Abigail Breslin is a weird actor.
Like a lovable weirdo.
I don't know anyone who acts or looks or like her. I don't know. Maybe it's just that I'm a little uneasy with her.
She's not even in type. Like you can't even like put her in a type. By the way, you guys.
Tonally, I just don't know where she fits.
Since our LA ups, I had this huge journey with signing up for Equinox Gym. I am now at the same Equinox Gym as our hot producer, Joe. We have not seen each other there yet, but it's Equinox Dumbo. Catch us there. I have some guest passes. Who will I pick for my guest passes? We'll find out.
Amazing. It won't be me. I don't.
Chilled eucalyptus towels. Sort of mediocre spin classes.
Ooh.
But we'll talk about this. Joe enjoyed
Keels,
it.
Baby. Keels in that shower, honey.
Keels in that shower, honey.
Do you do Equinox?
So get this.
Yes.
Did a year at Equinox
uh-huh.
because School of Rock paid for it.
Oh! There you go.
I also had a trainer because I was covering Dewey, which involves crazy amounts of stamina.
Oh.
So I had a trainer to help me get into
Dewey. How many times did you go on as Dewey?
Just twice.
Did you get to kiss Sierra?
Yes.
Oh!
It was actually her... Oh, God. It was her the last weekend
that
she was on.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And you got to give her a big old smackaroo.
Yeah, it was like her third last show was my second show.
Wait, how was that? How was that? How was covering for Dewey?
It was the most... I still absolutely cannot believe that it happened.
That's so cool.
In a Broadway house.
Yeah. I had to learn how to play guitar. It was all a thing.
But, oh my God.
Because, like, I don't think of myself as, like, some singer or anything, you know?
But you have that fucking stage presence.
Well, thank you. But, yeah, like, I had worked on it for months and months and months. And
yeah.
It was starting to feel like, oh, well, I'm probably never going to go on as Dewey, which is fine.
Sure.
Like, there's three other covers. And, well, there's two other covers. And they seem to have it.
And you've just been doing it.
Taken care of. Yeah. And then...
It happened.
The stage manager texted me and was like, you're going on as Dewey on Sunday on a Thursday. And I was like, okay, I can do this.
Wow.
And it was like being shot out of a cannon.
How does that work to prepare as an understudy? Like, do you rehearse the material while the lead actor is rehearsing it? Like behind him? Or like, what does it
work? No. So... Well, I worked on the workshop and we were covering for the workshop, but like the script's evolving and the numbers are changing and the blocking is changing. So we weren't encouraged to watch rehearsals because it was all going to change anyway. So for the most part, my work began once the Dewey role was kind of locked.
Finalized, yeah.
And that's when basically we were opening.
Oh, wow.
So then that's when I started rehearsing with the resident director and started to like do my Dewey stuff. But I knew I was like the last, the last
Dewey.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael Hartney and
the last Dewey.
The last Dewey. My mom and aunt came to the first one that I did.
Yes.
They bought a ticket for the second row.
Mm.
The show starts presentationally. It's Dewey's band playing a song. Yeah. So the curtain rises and I'm looking out in the house.
And there's your fucking
I immediately see my mom and Aunt Kathy and they immediately burst into tears.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Just sobbing.
Come on.
He's on Broadway.
That's beautiful.
It was crazy.
Beautiful.
My mom had already seen the show, but to see me as Dewey was like crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
And then 2 weeks later, my brother and sister-in-law came. Uh-huh. And that was... And my best friend came from Buffalo to see it. And it was... And I had fixed everything that I royally fucked up the first time.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't so, much.
Were there any big mess ups where you were like, oh my God.
Yes. There sure the fuck were.
Like drop lines?
No. Paraphrase some lines, sure, but that actually doesn't bother me at all. It was musical stuff that I was like, oh my God. So his first number is called When I Climbed to the Top of Mount Rock.
Yes.
This is really fucking hard ass, crazy song that immediately depletes you of energy for the rest of the show, and it's first. Thanks, Andrew. I sang the first verse, and the first chorus began. And I knew I was just a hair ahead.
Ooh.
And it was so terrifying. And I was like, God. Oh, well, this is it. This is how I die. When do I give up? When do I give up? And literally it was a line and a half long, but to me felt like 30 years.
And then that like kind of, I don't know what kind of mental place that puts you in for the rest of the show, but like. Who knows? Like you're
so never... about a verse and a half later, there's this like choreographed moment where I jump over a guitar case and I'm like putting up dukes.
Yeah.
And I throw myself to the floor and I have a very distinct memory of midair in the jumping over the guitar case, like putting up dukes going, I would like to stop doing this. I don't want to do this.
Oh my god.
This being like the show.
Yes. Like this in correct. This moment.
Like
this
I
moment.
Don't want to see this show through to the end.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Which of course I must and have to contractually. But I was like, I don't want to do this. And then it passed. I mean, it very quickly
of
passed.
Of course, of course.
I like relaxed into it and really started having the time of my life. I mean, both shows were very special. Oh, so then the first song with the kids called You're in the Band.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've never had a problem in any rehearsal singing this song ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the adrenaline and the exertion. There was a verse at the end where I couldn't get the last word of every line out for some reason. So it's like the song goes, and with me in control of the band as a whole, we will rock and we'll roll with a heart and our soul. And I said, and with me in control of the band as a whole, we will rock and we'll roll with our heart and our soul. Because then I started speaking it because I was like, what is happening to my voice?
The kids were like,
what? The kids were like, Ms. Finn, what's up?
Ms. Finn.
Ms. Finn, what's up?
Wait. Crazy. So the kids, are they kind of like, that's really cool, you get to go on? Or were they like, yeah, that's great?
Oh my God.
Were they such
were
pros?
The cutest.
Oh.
Sweetest, most excited. Everyone was so excited. The whole building was very excited for me. I mean, it really was like the most supportive, lovely, familial group of people in the world.
Oh. Did you get to meet Ms. Cosgrove?
Miranda.
Oh, I did, actually. Opening night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
She was
very sweet.
Beautiful soul.
I don't know what Matt's trying to get at.
I just want to know.
She was lovely.
There
she was
go.
Really nice.
We should have her on.
Let's bring on Miranda. We'll bring on Miranda.
I think Miranda Cosgrove killed it in that movie.
She's fierce. Oh, yeah. That was like, you knew she was a star.
Memory all alone in the moonlight. Stop.
Good.
So good. Good.
Wow. What? Thank you for that story. Wow.
That's huge.
Great. I love that.
Then just dropping the last word.
Just couldn't get them out. Just could not get them out.
Couldn't do it. Your body didn't let
my
you.
My voice was just blown out for just those little syllables. It was crazy.
That's a tough one to think about.
But you know what? I'm so glad that
you
was
made
told.
It through.
I made it through.
Yeah, you made it through, baby. Okay, let's.
Whenever I drop a line on stage, I'm always like, it's always over.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that throws me off for the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff doesn't bother me anymore, which is like very lovely. Yes. That is a blessing.
That was what Broadway taught you, baby.
Because there was just so many other things to fucking worry about.
Yeah.
That first show, I was like so worried about the guitar. It was the first time I've ever been remotely good at guitar.
Ah, well, there you go.
I like was great.
You nailed.
Of course you
I mean, relatively.
No, I'm sure.
But yeah, it was like weird things I wasn't expecting that I was suddenly played by.
Man, that's
oh my
amazing.
God.
What a
I
dream.
Love it. It is a dream.
Oh my God. I love
what Broadway show would you want to be in?
That's so tough. You go first. I don't really know.
I guess I would like to do King George.
Oh,
me
and
too.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I would always love to do Book of Mormon, of course.
Yeah, my like basic ass answer was Book of Mormon. But I posted.
What if
this.
I was like this guy should play actually?
Shut up.
I'd like to play Macduff.
I did post this and I kind of hated myself for posting this, but I was like, I wanna be fucking Bobby and Company. Or not even Bobby.
No, I love that you posted that.
Yeah.
Good.
I want to be Bobby, baby.
You should do be it. Bobby, baby,
I
want
Bobby. Belt my tits off to
why
being
not?
Alive. Why
being
not?
Alive.
Mm-hmm. You should do that.
I'll save it for the actual show.
We just got a new cat, and he's named after finishing the hat. His name is George.
George.
Sunday in the Park with George, because we were carrying him home and trying to figure out names, and finishing the hat weirdly came on.
Wow.
And Turtle, like, my partner's
George,
name is Turtle.
Turtle.
He had never heard that song, and I was like, oh, it's from Sunday in the Park with George, and it's beautiful, and I think this is Mandy Patinkin. He's like, "This is how do you know this stuff?" And I'm like, just don't
God.
Even worry about it.
Common knowledge to us folks.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh my God, wait, the one who played Dot, the new one who played Dot next to Jake Gyllenhaal, what's her name? Annalise Ashford. Denver, like me. I watched a bunch of interviews with her. She's great. She's funny.
Yeah, she's super funny.
She's so funny.
And
she's
super
so
good.
So fucking good.
She won a Tony.
Yeah, good for her. Ooh.
For Kinky Boots.
She was in Kinky Boots.
And she also, her career started.
Was Legally Blonde.
Was when she was like, she came out on MTV when they showed Legally Blonde. She was like, "Dear Al, he's a lucky guy." And they were like, "Who's that?"
That fucking bitch.
They're like, "That's the one we remember."
And now she's.
I'm like, gonna cry.
She's doing fucking Sondheim.
I got tears coming out of my nose. Mad props.
Okay. Wow. We gotta move on. This is it. This is the moment.
All right. This is I Don't Think So, Honey. This is what you have all gagged for.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Now, famously, Michael Hartney actually closed out.
Yes.
our I Don't Think So, Honey live show that we had a couple months ago. And it was quite a moment.
And then I Don't Think So, Honey. What movie was it? What film was it?
The Usual Suspects.
The Usual Suspects. And the final line of his I Don't Think So, Honey was, "If I want to listen to Kevin Spacey lie for two hours straight, I'd listen to him talk about the women he's fucked."
Drone on.
I'm so sorry. I butchered it. But
yeah, you butchered that.
Okay, please do it justice.
No.
I want you to.
I think everything you guys are doing are both an accurate representation of what I said.
It was brilliant.
It was amazing. Maybe, I don't know, guys, maybe look forward to another I Don't Think So, Honey live show.
Ooh.
Soon. Oh.
Maybe we'll have an announcement for you soon. I don't know.
Ooh.
Okay.
Baby.
Little tease. I looked at producer Joe and he's just set himself on fire, actually. So we'll deal with that.
We'll deal with that later.
Also, just want to quickly say, Bone and I have a show at Ars Nova Ant Fest on June 22nd that's called Night Soap.
Night Soap.
It is going to be a cat fight in three acts, honey. Mm-hmm. It is going to be Dynasty Knots Landing Realness for your nerves.
I want to watch this.
We are in full drag, bitch.
It's going to be very fun.
It's going to be quite the show. Yes. So get your tickets.
Oh, my God.
Get them in advance. They're going to be a little cheaper.
Yeah.
Ars Nova Ant Fest. Check it out. Lots of really good shows in the lineup.
Lots of great shows.
From Pasek and Platt.
Yes. And then right after our show, the same night, is Showgasm, hosted by Nicole Spezia.
Queen Nicole.
Okay.
So this is going to be a very fun June for Ars Nova Ant Fest.
Yes.
Now, I Don't Think So, Honey. I've decided on it.
I don't yet, so this is very exciting. I'll have time to think about mine, but this is...
Because I had to think... Sometimes you have to search your heart.
Okay, here we go. And this is I Don't Think So, Honey, Matt Rogers, Time Starts Now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Lettuce, Onion, and Tomato. Bitch, why are you a staple of a cheeseburger?
Ooh.
I see two words, cheese and burger. I don't see lettuce, onion, and tomato in that deal. I assume bread, and maybe that's my fucking fault for assuming it. Cheeseburger. That's what I want to get. I'd rather say I'll have a cheeseburger on bread than I'll have a cheeseburger, get the bread, and get the lettuce, onion, and tomato, bitch. It's too much. I don't like tomato. I might as well be allergic to it. I've tried. The little sun-dried tomatoes, little cherry tomatoes, maybe you. Not these big ones. Not these big heirloom ones. And onion? What the hell? You're well known for making people cry. Lettuce? You're crunchy. You're stupid. If I wanted the healthy option, I wouldn't have ordered a cheeseburger. I would have had a salad, bitch. I don't need some of you lettuce on my burger. I don't need lettuce, onion, and tomato. You're extra, and mayo,
Five seconds.
Even fucking think about it. I want ketchup and mustard on the side. I'll put it on as I please, liberally. Thanks.
And that's one.
Matt, just one quick question. How old were you when you stopped ordering buttered noodles at a restaurant?
I never ordered buttered noodles, bitch. Oh, I've been a chicken fingers kid since I was a terrible two.
Wow.
Buttermilk, bitch. I feel like I spoke to a lot of people.
You spoke to a lot of people.
Just
and
now.
Then, I'm sorry. What was the line that you said? I don't want some of you lettuce.
I don't want some of you lettuce.
I don't want some of you lettuce.
You're crunchy. You're stupid.
You're crunchy. You're stupid.
First of all, crunchy is great.
Crunchy is great.
No,
that is not a pejorative
crunchy
thing. But okay,
it's time for Bo and Yang's. I Don't Think So, Honey.
I think I have something. It's we'll see. You know what? But I gotta go in strong. Rule number whatever. Know where you're going. Here we go. This is my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Believe it was rule number 89.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Bo and Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. The Super Target that just opened up at City Point in Brooklyn for having the name Super Target but having a lackluster produce section. Honey, the thing that distinguishes you from a Super Target from a regular Target is the fucking produce section, honey. You are not going to get away with having a pile of oranges in the middle of the fucking aisle and call yourself a Super Target and slap that qualifier on yourself, honey. City Point, you're busted. You're supposed to have a Katz's Deli and a Trader Joe's and a Super Target and an Alamo Draft House. Right now, you only have a 30. Lackluster Super Target and a fine, okay Alamo Draft House. I've only seen one movie there. I was very stoned, and it was Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them with Matt, and it was very fun. But also, but Super Target, you do not get to call yourself a Super Target where you have one floor. Seconds. The Target at Atlantic Terminal has two floors, bitch, and it's spacious as hell, but it smells like ass. So City Point Super Target, at least get your smell down. If you fuck that up, then there's no reason to
Five
go to
seconds.
You. So I don't think so, honey. Super Target, be the real Super Target you were meant to be in
That's
this world.
That's 1 minute.
Okay. Wow. It's a travesty.
That Alamo Draft House is lovely.
It's lovely. I didn't totally shit on it. I
no,
said it's
I,
fine.
I think that that was actually amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it just came
they
to me.
They shouldn't call themselves a Super Target. They should have to earn that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
This is it. So Michael Hartney came in. I think he told Matt that he had two options.
You have two options, and he's holding both of his options in his hand right now.
Okay.
And so, Bowen, on the count of three, we're going to choose the same
But hold
hand.
On. How do we know that he just doesn't have one picked out, and he's just going to say the
I've
one?
Set... I've
okay, okay.
I will be honoring the choice.
You I know see. What? Bowen and I are going to disagree. So, Joe, you pick the hand. Producer Joe, he picks the left hand.
The left hand.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. This is Michael Hartney's left hand. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People who come for Moana, honey. That movie is a gag, honey. I cried four times when I saw that movie, honey. And then I was like, I saw it a second time and I was like, well, I'm not going to cry as much, honey. I cried twice as much, honey. What is wrong with simple, straightforward storytelling with fun-ass songs? I'm sorry. Mr. Andrew Lloyd Webber says you only need a few motifs to hold an audience's attention.
30 seconds?
And I worked with that motherfucker, so I should motherfucking know. Moana is a Superman story. She knows where she learns where she came from. She defies her elders, and she has agency, honey. She
seconds.
Makes choices. There is no love interest. She doesn't care about no rock. Also, the rock's body, that is a payee into ink and paint animation, honey. Yes. Which you're not going to get in CGI other films, bitch. And I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. We just disagree, I guess. I'll ask Sondheim's opinion.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
For those
Look,
of you who,
I could get into this.
The
but
other
I
one
just
did
won't.
Not come for Matt Rogers at all. I'm so glad you picked the one that came for Matt Rogers.
Bitch, that was real.
I didn't like it. It bored my ass to death, and it also bored Bowen to death. He just wasn't brave enough to take to social about it.
He just wasn't
brave enough to take to social.
Sorry, I just heard the phrase take to social, and now I'm lighting myself on fire.
Listen, I was, you know what? I was a craven. It was a craven of me to not post on social. But I will say that Matt and I got our fucking lives during the How Far I'll Go reprise.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing moment
in
that movie.
Oh, burst into tears.
I thought there were great moments in that movie. I wish
the stingray?
That the whole thing was exciting. I wish I felt...
You want
excited
to,
while
you,
I was watching it.
You want to talk about a consistently excellent Disney movie from the last 5 years? I have said it a million times.
Wreck-It Ralph.
It's the best. Watch it.
But it's not a musical, so I hate it.
Okay, well.
I like it.
Can't win them all.
I do
Big
like
Hero
it.
Big Hero 6. Oh,
Big
love
Hero
it.
6.
Monsters, Inc. I actually came for the first time.
I'm sorry, you dinged your dong to Monsters, Inc.
I dinged it and danged it to Monsters, Inc.
There you go.
Sorry, maybe
Sully?
That might have to get cut out. Anyway,
wow.
Guys, we want to thank Michael Hartney so much for being on Las Culturistas.
Thank you so much. I love the show, you guys.
Oh my
thank
God,
you.
We love you very much. And this was so fun.
So fun.
My name is Matt Rogers.
My name is Bowen Yang. That's Michael Hartney.
And
Bye.
Producer Joe.
And producer Joe. We love you.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.